Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Today is Thursday, September 26th, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Today is a day that will live in history. I got a lot to talk about from the hearings today, from the whistleblower complaint, from the legal machinations, from the political machinations, all of that. We're going to have a very lively hour. But first, I just want to give you my takeaway from the whole damn thing. The president is malevolent. The president is stupid. Thank God the president is stupid, or he would be able to commit a lot more evil. So many things are swirling through my mind. A lot of times I sort of set out where I'm going in a show. Today it's going to be kind of stream of consciousness. I got too much to say. We always knew Donald Trump was venal, that he was corrupt, that he became president to be like an infomercial, to help create more business for Trump vodka and Trump steaks, to get people to come to his Trump hotels. He never intended to be president. He never thought he would be president. And he kind of fell into the job. But I am thankful that Donald Trump is stupid. And I keep comparing him to Richard Nixon. And as we go through, you have to compare to past actions, right? I mean, the way to look at history is to compare to the past. And, well, the other two impeachments have nothing to do with this one. Andrew Johnson, the impeachment was about politics, very serious politics. It was a question of how to reconstruct the United States after the Civil War and whether we would be fundamentally a racist Jim Crow country, which actually won the day, or whether we would give the freed slaves full rights, which lost. Very, very important question, probably the most important political question in our history. But it was a political question. Andrew Johnson was a terrible president, but I don't believe there's any evidence he was corrupt. He, not quite sure he abused power either. Fervently disagree with the way he reconstructed the country after the Civil War, but I can understand why he was not removed from office, really not a historical precedent. And then there's Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton impeached for supposedly lying about an affair. Really small potatoes. I suspect there are lots of people in government that have had affairs. Remember, the Republicans forced him even to testify, whereas the Democrats didn't even force Donald Trump to testify about raw abuses of power. Bill Clinton has nothing. That impeachment has nothing to do with the one we're focused on. No, the one we're focused on, frankly, is similar to the only one that's ever been successful, the one for Richard Nixon. The one, let's face it, that never actually came to an impeachment vote. Only two presidents in United States history have been impeached. Who are they? It wasn't Nixon. It was Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. Both were impeached by the House. Both were not convicted by the Senate. Let's back up. Let's make sure we all know what we're talking about here. People say impeach the president, and they assume that means get him and remove him from office. That's not technically what impeach means. Let's make clear we know what we're talking about here. Under the United States Constitution, in order to remove a president from office, it's a two-stage process, arguably a three-stage process. Stage one is the proper committee, generally it's the House Judiciary Committee, passes articles of impeachment just through the committee. That could be 15 people, could be 20 people, majority party, of course. And then it comes out of the Judiciary Committee, it goes to the floor. The entire House then would vote to impeach by majority vote. And I suspect we'll have the votes for that. More than 218 members, a majority of the House of Representatives, currently supports an impeachment inquiry, maybe not impeachment yet, but an impeachment inquiry to determine whether impeachment should go forward. After that happens, that is like the indictment for a crime. That is like charging someone with a crime. When you arrest and charge someone, not enough to convict. And that is the term that's used, convict. It then goes to the Senate. The House tries the case like a prosecutor, presents the case before the jury, which is the Senate. And the Senate, if by a two-thirds vote, chooses to convict the President of the United States, the President is removed from office. And at that time, the President can be charged with all of the crimes that he committed while in office and can wear a nice, pretty orange suit to match his orange face as he goes to jail. But that's the stages. So for Andrew Johnson, for Bill Clinton, the House Judiciary Committee voted. The House, full House voted to impeach. The Senate voted, did not convict. They didn't get the two-thirds. Neither was removed from office. In Richard Nixon's case, the Judiciary Committee voted articles of impeachment out. Three articles of impeachment passed the Judiciary Committee. It started to go to the House floor. He would have been impeached, and I'm confident he actually would have been convicted or removed from office, but Richard Nixon resigned before the process could complete its process. But that's okay. I mean, in essence, the process worked. So arguably the only president removed from office because of impeachment was Richard Nixon, the only president of those three never to be impeached. I hope you followed along there. The point is that in comparing Trump's abuses of power with Nixon's abuses of power, you have a much clearer way to define it. Because it's really got nothing to do with Andrew Johnson, which was politics, and nothing to do with Bill Clinton, which was also political, but really all about attacking a man for cheating on his wife. Remember, they tried to find corruption, couldn't find it with Whitewater. All they found was Monica Lewinsky. So Nixon and Trump actually fit the model of what the founders decided when it came to impeachment. Under the United States Constitution, Article 2, when you read about impeachment, removing a president from office, and by the way, impeachment doesn't just remove a president. It can remove a federal judge. It can remove a cabinet official. It's Article 2, Section 4, and it says, the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. That's the heart. That's actually all of Article 2, Section 4. Right there. So, we can move the president and the vice president. I'm looking at you, Pence. And all civil officers of the United States, I'm looking at you, Attorney General Barr. They can be removed from office on impeachment for, that's the House impeaches, majority vote, and conviction of, that's the Senate, two-thirds, treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And I believe this president has committed treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors is one of those things like, what does that mean? What could that high crime, what does it mean? Actually, the founders had a very specific meaning for high crimes and misdemeanors. A high crime misdemeanor was basically an abuse of power. It was when an office holder committed some kind of unethical, corrupt abuse of power, used their power not to help the country, not to do what they were elected to do, but to help themselves. Self-dealing. Something like, setting a bug in a Watergate hotel to learn what your rival party people were saying, and then when that bug was discovered, covering it up. Actually, there's still no proof Nixon set the bug. There's only proof that he covered it up. But that was enough. to pass articles of impeachment out of the Judiciary Committee for Nixon to resign. Compare that to Donald Trump. Now, because Donald Trump is stupid, he has given us the evidence. Richard Nixon, like a good, smart criminal, knew what he was doing was wrong and therefore did everything he could to cover it up. He had the tapes. He was going to cover them up. He even made an 18-minute gap in the tapes. They were actually really hard to erase. It wasn't something you could do by accident. They even have a picture in Watergate Day of Richard Nixon's secretary showing that for her to erase the tapes, she had to put her foot on one button here and reach back there. It was just not something you could do easily. Don't know who did that. But Richard Nixon knew he was doing wrong and tried like hell to cover up all the evidence. And the United States Supreme Court, by a 9-0 opinion in U.S. v. Nixon, unanimous opinion, including justices that Nixon appointed, said that the president had to turn over the tapes. Now, Nixon asserted something called executive privilege. Really kind of a new privilege. It's only been around a few decades, but this idea that the president should have a right to talk openly and honestly with his advisors and not be worried that, even though Congress has the right of oversight, that everything they say and do will be brought to the public, because then maybe his advisors won't be able to give him free advice. You know, people won't be able to say, hey, I think you should bomb this country, or I think you should do this tax cut. And people might think that's a crazy idea, but it allows that people to give full, unfettered advice. On its face, executive privilege makes some sense. I don't think it's the greatest privilege in the world. Not as important as, say, attorney-client privilege or things like that, but I get it. But clearly the right of the president to talk with his or her staff about what to do has to be set aside when the president himself is accused of criminal conduct, of abuse of power. Because whatever benefits you get from executive privilege, obviously you can't plan a conspiracy under it. You can't even do it with attorney-client privilege. Did you know that? Many of us know attorney-client privilege means that you have the right to talk to your attorney, and it's important to tell your lawyer, yeah, I killed the guy, or yeah, I robbed the bank. And that's actually still privileged, as long as you're confessing to a past crime. But you may not know this. We attorneys know this. If you are conspiring with your lawyer to commit a new crime, if you say, hey, Rudy, my lawyer, I want you to go out and shoot the whistleblower. I want you to go out and blackmail the Ukrainian prime minister into making up dirt on our political opponent, Joe Biden, which is a crime. Is that protected by attorney-client privilege? It is not. You can't plot a crime with your lawyer. Similarly, executive privilege cannot be used to commit or cover up a crime. And we know this because in the famous case of United States v. Nixon, the Supreme Court held 9-0 that Richard Nixon could not use executive privilege to cover up a crime. That's the one citation I was waiting for Chairman Adam Schiff, who otherwise did a tremendously great job today. I wanted him to cite U.S. v. Nixon when he talked with the Director of National Intelligence, because that case hung over the entire proceedings today. It's the idea, emphatically, that the president is not above the law. For the rest of the hour, I'm going to digest exactly what the whistleblower said, what happened on the phone call, why it matters, what happened at the hearings today, what the law is, where we go from here. I'm going to do my best because I only have an hour. And I was up till 3 a.m. last night studying this thing. So bear with me. Got a lot to say. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So, obviously, we're talking about impeachment. Those of you who have heard my show before know I've given you the letters. Last time we were at IMPEAC, we got the H, clearly. Today, IMPEACH, impeach. We still got to get to the mint, impeachment. But remember when I told you it was the end of the beginning? Well, today, it is the beginning of the end. And I'm going to get into all the law and all this, and I may have to do more next week. But first, what did the president do? What do we know happened? What are we sure of? Because there's still things we don't know. Let's just look at what we know and see if that's enough already to remove the president from office. We know that the president, as early as April, talked with you. You know what? I got to get more background. To understand this, you got to have the background. So let's first of all talk a little bit about Ukraine. Ukraine, a province, a country conquered by Russia way back in 1700s, actually. Fierce, independent Slavic people. Conquered by Russia and was part of the Soviet Union. It was a separate country as part of the Soviet Union. When the Soviet Union fell apart, Ukraine broke free from Russia, became a new country. Ukraine actually had a few nuclear weapons left over from when it was part of the Soviet Union. And the United States and Great Britain and Russia guaranteed Ukrainian sovereignty if they would give up their nuclear weapons. We were afraid of nuclear proliferation. We didn't want too many people to have nuclear weapons. So Russia kept its nukes. Ukraine gave up its nukes. And in return, we and the Brits promised to protect the territory of Ukraine. So what happened 5 years ago? Russia invaded Ukraine. Just took its property. Took Crimea, took eastern half of Ukraine, invaded, and we did nothing. Frankly, as an Obama supporter, if you listen to my show, you know that I criticized Obama heavily. I felt we needed to arm the Ukrainian people. And Russia has occupied the eastern provinces of Ukraine. So Ukraine's in a lot of need. It needs our help. It has tens of thousands of people being murdered by the Russians who took over the eastern half of the territory, which borders Russia. It looks to the west. It has a long history of corruption. It needs our help. And Congress, to its credit, Democrats and Republicans mostly agree, 80%, 90% agree that Ukraine should help. After all, it's a sovereign nation. We promised Ukraine we would protect its boundaries, and Russia illegally invaded the country. So they're in need. They're in big need. They really need U.S. help. But they have a problem. The President of the United States wants them to do them a favor. Him a favor. They want him to get dirt on Biden, or they won't get the missiles they need to protect their country. That's the heart of the issue, and we'll give you the details when we come back.
Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So you've got Ukraine. It's in moral danger, lethal danger. It is, you know, every country's got to protect its existence. You want to do the right thing, but at the same time, you want to exist. And Ukraine is being invaded by Russia, which claims its territory. And Russia is a very powerful next door neighbor, a lot more powerful than Ukraine. And it needs help from the United States. So we are arming Ukraine, and that's a good thing. And Donald Trump called up the new president of Ukraine in April to congratulate him, President Zelensky. Who is Zelensky? Zelensky, you can't make this stuff up. Zelensky is a 40-odd-year-old comedian who just became the president of Ukraine. You see, Zelensky I don't want to get too much in Ukrainian history. We just don't have a lot of time here. But Ukraine has a long history of corruption back and forth between West and Russia. Russia has installed people there, a lot of corruption. And the people really were tired of leaders stealing all the money and being pliable to Russia. And they wanted freedom and democracy, and they didn't want Russian troops. So this comedian, who I think was on Ukraine's Dancing with the Stars, was on a TV program where he played an ordinary school teacher who stands up against Ukrainian corruption and lo and behold is elected president of Ukraine. So this guy who played this character, who was just this ordinary guy who spoke against corruption and became president, decided to speak against corruption and become president. Reality show Trump meet movie TV star Zelensky. But Zelensky, from what we can tell, seems to be an honest guy who's trying really hard to fix his country. Good for him. But he has to toady up to these very powerful dictators, Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, who acts like a dictator. So let's go through. In April, Donald Trump calls him up and says, listen, congratulations. Zelensky says, great, we need your help. We need the aid. We need the Javelin missiles that can fight Soviet tanks. I want to meet with you. If I meet with you, Mr. President, then that shows Vladimir Putin he can't intervene in my country because I got America's back. And Trump's like, whoa, nice to meet you too, son. We don't have the April phone call, so I'm guessing how I think it went, based on a little bit based on the whistleblower complaint, a little bit based on what I know about Donald Trump. But what I do know happened in the April conversation is that Donald Trump said, you know, you need to talk to my guy first, Rudy Giuliani, my personal lawyer. Now, any honest politician would think that's really weird. Your guy? Rudy Giuliani? Why aren't I talking to your Secretary of State? Your ambassador? Your envoy? Your foreign service person? Rudy's not even part of the U.S. government. What does he want? And Rudy meets with Zelensky again and again and again and says, we need dirt on Joe Biden. We need dirt on Joe Biden. And Zelensky, or at least his people, are scratching their heads. You see, there is no dirt on Joe Biden. Yeah, Biden's ne'er-do-well son, Hunter Biden, got a job while Biden was vice president with a Ukrainian gas company. And I have no doubt the kid traded in on his father's name, and that's kind of gross. Not near as gross as what Ivanka has done, right? Getting patents from China based on things that she knows nothing about. Jared Kushner making all this money. Donald Trump getting people to stay in his hotels. I mean, the nepotism there is terrible. But listen, yeah, famous kids tend to go farther. It's all perfectly legal. Anyway, Hunter Biden gets this job at the Ukrainian gas company. And it turns out that before Hunter got the job with the company, the Ukrainian prosecutor was investigating the company, didn't find anything, didn't go anywhere. Prosecution was dormant. Hunter joins. Anyway, this particular prosecutor was corrupt, like so many in Ukraine, and wasn't prosecuting any corruption. He certainly wasn't prosecuting the Bidens. There was no evidence that there was corruption with the Bidens. He wasn't prosecuting them. Wasn't prosecuting anyone. And the entire world community, President Obama, Vice President Biden, England, France, Germany, Italy, Sweden, Norway, the whole world community wanted to get rid of this prosecutor because he was helping keep Ukraine corrupt. So they put pressure on them, including Joe Biden, to say, hey, you need to clean up your act. That was back when the United States wasn't a corrupt government. That was under Obama. So Biden got rid of the prosecutor who was not prosecuting his son. If anything, actually, the corrupt thing to do would have been if Biden had insisted that prosecutor who wasn't prosecuting his son stay if his son were corrupt. That's why this whole conspiracy theory doesn't make any sense, because Biden got rid of a guy who was no threat to his family to put in an honest guy who could have been a threat if the Bidens had done anything wrong, but they didn't do anything wrong, so there's nothing to investigate. Okay, enough of this false story, because the only thing that matters about the lie that Biden did anything wrong was that Trump wanted to use it to prevail in his political campaign. So let's now go through. He sends Rudy to do all these things. Zelensky, to his credit, is kind of resisting it. I mean, he was elected to oppose corruption. So to make up a false accusation against Joe Biden, it's kind of not really in his DNA. He's the guy that's fighting corruption, right? So he's kind of telling Giuliani no. So Donald Trump raises the stakes. He decides to withhold almost $400 million in aid to Ukraine, critical to Ukraine's survival, critical to Ukraine's self-defense. He's going to hold that money over their head to get what he wants, not to help the United States. Donald Trump doesn't give a damn about the United States. He wants dirt, made-up dirt, doesn't matter. He wants a fake investigation into bogus allegations against Joe Biden, because that will help him win. I mean, look at what they did with Hillary's emails, right? So all of that in mind, let's go through the conversation that happened on July 23rd. And then we'll get to when it was released and all these things. Hopefully there'll be time. But let's go through the conversation. The words matter. And you need to, if you have not, you need to spend 10 minutes and read the entire transcript, word for word. It's only a few pages, 5 pages. Critical that you read every word. I won't have time to read every word. Donald Trump says to Zelensky, congratulations on your great victory. You did a really good job. Congratulations. Zelensky, already trying, knowing that he's got this money over his head that's critical to his country's survival. He also knows, as any foreign leader knows, that you got to butter up the president. You got to praise him a lot. Look, Kim Jong-un got nukes that can hit California just by pretending to like Trump. So you can get a, you know, unlike an intelligent president, where you have to make real, you know, real compromises. All you have to do is praise Donald Trump, and like any two-year-old, he's happy and he'll give you what he wants. So Zelensky knows that, and he says, yes, Mr. President, we won big, we worked hard, quote, we used quite a few of your skills and knowledge, we're able to use it, and you know, you called, that gave me good luck, and so forth. And the president says he's very happy. And Zelensky says, yes, we want to drain the swamp, right? Using Trump-type terms, bringing in new people. You're a great teacher. Compliment, 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 right? Okay. Now comes the ask. Donald Trump. Well, it's very nice of you to say that. I will say that we do a lot for Ukraine. We spend a lot of effort and a lot of time. Much more than European countries are doing. All they do is talk and talk. But the United States has been very, and I'm reading this direct quote, even though I'm not doing the Trump accent because I'm not good at it. This is a direct quote. The United States has been very, very good to Ukraine. I wouldn't say that it's reciprocal necessarily, because things are happening that are not good. But the United States has been very, very good to Ukraine. Now imagine if a very powerful person who holds your family's life in their hand says, I've been very good to you, but I don't really know that it's been reciprocal. Zelensky, oh, sir, quote, he didn't say sir. Here's what he said. Yes, you're absolutely right. Not only 100%, but actually 1,000%. I did talk to Angela Merkel. I met with her. I met with Macron. I told them they're not doing quite as much as they should be, right? He's echoing Trump's words. That's what you do when you want someone to give you something you want. You say, oh, you know, sir, how smart you are. They're not doing as much as they could. They should be our biggest partner, but we really, really need the United States. Quote, we are almost ready to buy more javelins from the United States for defense purposes. We're ready. We need your money, we need your anti-tank missiles, it'll help your economy, more importantly, it'll help save us. Here are the critical words now. Donald Trump says, in response to him saying, ready to buy more javelins for the United States for defense purposes. Trump says, quote, I would like you to do us a favor, though. Because our country has been through a lot, and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I'd like you to do us a favor, though. Though, I know you need your defense, but I need you to do us a favor. What does it mean to do someone a favor? Hey, will you do me a favor? What's a favor? When you ask someone to do you a favor, you know that they're going to help you, and they probably don't want to do it. Even if it's something small, hey, will you do me a favor? Will you take out the garbage? Will you do me a favor? Will you get me a drink? Will you do me a favor? Will you pick up the groceries on the way home? Hey, will you do me a favor? Will you get rid of that meddlesome priest that's annoying me? It's kind of what King Henry II may have said in England before the murder of St. Thomas Becket. Okay, I'm getting off track. But would you do me a favor? I would like you to do us a favor, though. Favor means special privilege, something a little, you know. And what's the favor Donald Trump asks? Is it something to help America? Is it something to buy certain American products? Is it to support our geopolitical interests in the United Nations? No, it's got nothing to do with America. Now, here's what Donald Trump asks. He asks, number one, find out what happened. Find out what happened with the DNC server that the Russians hacked. He says, quote, find out what happened with the whole situation in Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. Now, CrowdStrike were the people who discovered that the Russians attacked the Democratic National Committee. Donald Trump wants to know, how did you discover? How did you discover that the Russians hacked the DNC? I didn't want that discovery. No. Find out what happened with CrowdStrike. There's this wild conspiracy theory that the server is in Ukraine. You got more dirt for me on Hillary. And then he goes on to say, I'd like to have the Attorney General call you or your people. I want to get to the bottom line. As you saw yesterday, the whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller, an incompetent performance. But they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it, if that's possible. Now, this is the day after Mueller testifies. The day after Mueller says, you know, Donald Trump welcomed the collusion, but a lot of his people refused to work with Russia. So while Russia did it, there wasn't a clear quid pro quo. The day after Donald Trump thinks he gets this clear pass from Mueller, he goes from no collusion to big time collusion. Find out how they discovered the Russian hack. Find out what happened with CrowdStrike. It's very important. Quote from Donald Trump, whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it if that's possible. Zelensky, needing the aid for his country, quote, yes, it's very important to me. And everything you just mentioned earlier, for me as a president, it's very important. We're open to any future cooperation. We're ready to open a new page on cooperation relations between the United States and Ukraine. And we're going to have a competent ambassador. And I want to let you know that we spoke with Mr. Giuliani. Remember you told me to speak with your personal, you know, fixer in April? We spoke with him. We're hoping very much to be able to travel to Ukraine. And once he comes, I want to assure you once again, you have nobody but friends around us. We are great friends, strategic partnership, and all the investigations will be done openly and candidly. That I can assure you. Zelensky, hey, you want investigations? We'll give you investigations. You want investigations into phony things? You got it. We need your aid. I'll do your investigations. Good, Donald Trump says. Again, direct quote. Because I heard you had a prosecutor who was very good. And he was shut down. And that's really unfair. A lot of people are talking about that. That's how Donald Trump, when he wants something done, he says, a lot of people are talking about that. The way they shut your very good prosecutor down, and you had some very bad people involved. Mr. Giuliani is a highly respected man, Donald Trump says. He was the mayor of New York City, a great mayor, and I would like him to call you. Talk to my fixer. He'll let you know what the bad stuff he wants you to do for me. Kind of like he used to do with Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels, remember? I will ask him to call you along with the Attorney General. So you got my personal fixer, my hitman, Rudy Giuliani, and the Attorney General of the United States, the top law enforcement officer of the United States, the three of us are colluding together to get this dirt, and we want you to do it. So if you want to know someone close to me, you got Rudy Giuliani, you want the guy who controls U.S. law enforcement, that's Attorney General Barr. We're all in this massive conspiracy together. Donald Trump says, Giuliani is a highly respected man, mayor of New York City. I'll ask him to call you along with the attorney general. Quote, Rudy very much knows what's happening, and he's a very capable guy. If you could speak to him, that would be great. The former ambassador from the United States, the woman, was bad news. See, Donald Trump got the ambassador fired because she didn't want to be part of this corrupt bargain. The people she was dealing with, Ukraine, were bad news. I just want to let you know that. Trust Rudy. Trust Barr. Don't trust the ambassador to the United States. She's too honest. And then the other thing, direct quote, the other thing. There's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution. And a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution. So if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. Bingo. Direct quid pro quo. Talk to Rudy Giuliani. Talk to Attorney General Bob Barr. Go get Biden. Zelensky, oh, yes, we'll look into it. I got to take a break. But that's the heart. That's the heart of the reason why I believe Donald Trump will be impeached and hopefully removed as President of the United States. Right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Not near enough time to say all I wanted to say. We're just going to have to do more next week. Read the complaint. Read the entire complaint. Actually, read just the transcript. If you read nothing else, read the transcript between Donald Trump and President Zelensky. He says, we've done all this for Ukraine. Very good, but it's not being reciprocal. You're not helping us out enough. I need you to do me a favor, though. One, look into all these crazy conspiracy theories that no one believes are true. And two, go after Joe Biden. I want you to go after Joe Biden. I want you to prosecute him and his son. Oh, sir, Zelensky, we need your help. We'll do whatever we can. We'll look into that company for you. We're ready to open a new page. I'll get a new prosecutor. He'll look into that situation. This is all directly from the transcript. We'll look into the situation, the company you mentioned. President, talk to Rudy Giuliani. Talk to Attorney General Robert Barr. Oh, yes, sir. And I stayed in New York, and I stayed at the Trump Tower, and we're buying American oil. Great, the president says, quote, I will tell Rudy and Attorney General Barr to call you. Whenever you would like to come to the White House, feel free to call. Give us a date. We'll work that out. This is something Zelensky very much wants. Talk to Rudy and Attorney General Barr. You get to come to the White House. He says, great. I really want to meet you. Can we work out a date? President says, we'll work that out. We'll work that out. Talk to Rudy. Talk to Barr. What happens? When the whistleblower discovers that the President of the United States is withholding taxpayer aid, using taxpayer money to extort the president of Ukraine to make up a bogus dirt on Joe Biden, they finger the president, and the president of the United States, well, you just have to wait till next week as we talk about the law surrounding that. This is Mark Levine, signing off.